What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And if you're wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister, Tiffany Daniels Sy. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister is, she's the most talented person in the family. And we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, hit us up, LorraineCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this black business, support this black woman, and order, I promise you guys. And matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister's face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that. But guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LorraineCo.com. And we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Thanks.
Peace and love. It's Rick the Negotiator.
And this is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And welcome to The God Show, everybody. Shout out to our sponsors. Shout out to Two Laws Distribution, Tote and Carry, Yoko Vodka, LorraineCo, YKTV. Got some good, and we got some other ones coming in, too. So if you're a sponsor, we love you. Come on. Like, share, comment, download. Download, put the show on automatic download. We went number one, and I liked the way that felt, so I don't want to not do that again. But it comes from downloads. But today we have a very special guest. This lady is the chairwoman of the board for the Black Lives Matter movement. I want to say movement. Is that the right way of saying it? What is it, a company?
It's true. I mean, movement is large. I can't take credit for the whole movement, but I am.
But you are the chairwoman of Black Lives Matter.
Of the organization. That's
so
right.
Let's give it up for everybody. Yeah. Cicely Gay, let's go.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on the show, Cicely. I feel like, you know, you've actually helped with how my family looks at me, because my uncle is like, oh, you talking to somebody from Black, like, oh, you really trying to get serious, nephew, I see now, rather than just some rapper talking about how much money he got. So you just made my cool points in my house go
These
up.
These are serious times.
These are serious times. They are serious times. So give us, before we get into our questions, give us the current state of the BLM movement, your role, how we got here.
Sure. So the Black Lives Matter movement is expansive. It is the 27 million people who marched in the streets after George Floyd died. It is unaffiliated chapters all over the country. A lot of times people don't realize that nobody copyrighted the name Black Lives Matter. Mm. And so you could literally start a Black Lives Matter chapter and be completely unaffiliated. But it is also the organization, the one that has been in the midst of controversy, that I am the board chairwoman of. Mm-hmm. We are the largest philanthropic nonprofit abolitionist organization built by Black people to ever exist.
Okay.
We are the holder
of— clap for that. I want to clap for that.
It's true. We're doing this for Black people, with Black people, by Black people. So we are blacklivesmatter.com. You know, we're the one that holds the majority of the assets.
Yeah.
And we are a legitimate nonprofit organization that's working to invest in the lives of Black people.
Got you.
I took this role in 2022, so I often say I cannot take credit or responsibility for what happened before me.
And Black Lives Matter started in 2020?
It actually started after the acquittal of the murderer of Trayvon Martin. So it was 2013, the first time they used that hashtag online and said Black Lives Matter. But from 2013 to 2020, it wasn't an organization, right? It was a group of activists who were building in their community on behalf of Black lives. It wasn't until 2022 when the world woke up and then the money started coming in.
Yes.
And that's when the scrutiny came along with it.
We love to see you. We love to see people get up to tear them down.
Yeah.
It's a weird relationship we have with each other.
Yeah, and you know, I would be remiss if I didn't take a moment. There were three women in Los Angeles that started this movement, and I honor every moment of the work that they put into it.
For sure.
They have been criticized. The reality is, they started this organization because they believed in it, not because they wanted to build a 501c3 nonprofit, right? So if you start an organization or you start a movement in 2013, you got people rocking with you, no money coming in for 10 years or however many years, you're doing your best. And then resources come in, the government comes in, scrutiny comes in, you've got to legitimize yourself as an organization. Nobody expected that.
Mm-hmm.
My experience is in nonprofits. I've worked behind the scenes in nonprofits and in philanthropy for 25 years. Mm. This is my fourth nonprofit board. So to come in as a nonprofit expert is very different, particularly with the expertise I have around social justice organizations, than organizers and activists who are out marching in the streets. Mm-hmm. So we say it's a new day. Allow us to reintroduce ourselves at Black Lives Matter. We have a new board of three individuals, and we're going to grow our board who have a variety of experience and interest. And it's our responsibility to keep us legal. The first thing we did was file our taxes in 2022. That hadn't been done. Yeah. And we've also opened up a transparency center at blacklivesmatter.com because we're telling people where all the money has gone.
But so why is three board members, including you, or outside?
Including
of
me.
Okay, so three of you guys.
Yep.
How? What is the role that the first three young ladies that started it, what is their role in it? Are they still associated? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, they're completely unaffiliated. They're on our website. That's our origin story. That's our history. But they are in no way affiliated with the organization. So they started their own organization.
I'm just curious. Do you buy them? Do you have to buy them out? Do they turn over the assets? Like, how does that work?
So I love these nonprofit questions, right? A lot of times I don't get into the weeds around how nonprofits work. So when you're a nonprofit or a 501c3, you have to exist for the good of the world, right? Yeah. Nobody owns you. So people often say, oh, you're the board chair. You got all this money. That's not my money, right? It's for the good of the people. Mm-hmm. So there are donations that come in. We don't have to pay taxes on them, but we have to report to the IRS.
Gotcha.
So there is a board, which is a governing body of the organization that provides all the fiduciary information. We create policies and procedures. We hire staff members. We set kind of the regulations around how the organization will run in terms of infrastructure. Mm-hmm. But we're voted in and we could be voted out, right? By not only our board, but also advisors who come on as advisory board. Gotcha. We can resign. And so one of the members of the original three, she was still here when the organization was being built, and she decided to step down and hand over the reins. So for this new wave of leadership, and that was in 2021.
I just got to ask, does that mean she has to give the house that they bought away, or does she get to keep that?
She doesn't keep it. So the $6 million house that is in Los Angeles, we call it the Creator's House.
Okay.
It was bought at the end of 2020, and it was bought with foundation funds. So it is an asset of the foundation.
Got
right? you. When I came on board, there was a lot of talk. The BLM has $90 million, and they did.
Yeah.
In 2022, we had $42 million. Mm-hmm. So it was my responsibility to ensure as board chair that we steward that $42 million plus the asset of the house that cost $6 million and has, as you can imagine, already accumulated. It's in Los Angeles. There's been a lot of negative press about this house. What people don't know is that the intention was that it was a safe space for activists. It also has a movie studio in the back, has 21 parking spaces. It is a public-private use facility. Yeah. And I've been there. I was like, I don't know if I even want to go there.
Yeah.
So I went with lawyers and I walked through it. They told us that it was an asset worth having. I mean, the reality is to own land and be black is a revolutionary act. Mm-hmm. And to have property and be black is a revolutionary act. We live in Atlanta. I do. And in Atlanta, there's all kinds of nonprofits. They own buildings, they own houses, they own offices to the tune of 10 to 15 to $20 million. I don't even want to get into the difference between black-led organizations and white-led ones.
Perfect.
So to build and buy a facility that's supposed to create infrastructure that serves as a space where we brought in HBCU students, for instance, we brought in 150 impacted families who family members had been killed by the police, and we had a healing dinner for them. And to turn that into something in the media where people have said it's simply a space for somebody to just get rich off of is just completely incorrect.
Okay, I wanted to ask that because we interview my son and love my son. And he was basically going in about, you know, like activist work is really the bottom of the barrel work because they expect you to show up. They expect you to be loud, but they don't expect you to have a living.
That's right.
Not understanding that is your, it's like being pastor, you're a public servant.
That's right. There's no respect for people who make money doing the business of nonprofit.
Yeah.
It is a business, right?
Yes, it is.
So interestingly enough, I was close to some folks in the civil rights movement and spent a lot of time, you know, sitting at their feet and learning. There's an expectation that when you serve in nonprofits, especially as a black person, you take an oath of poverty. poverty. Mm-hmm. And you can't make a living even though it is your job. I've worked behind the scenes in nonprofits for 25 years. Mm. It's been my professional job. I actually went to college to become someone who understood the infrastructure and interworkings of nonprofits, right? So I've been hired to do that for years. And when I took on this board role, what a lot of people don't know is I did that as a volunteer. Mm-hmm. I have my own business.
Yeah.
And my business is building out nonprofit organizations.
Yeah.
So I love his work. I love my son's work and everything that he's been saying, because people think that you're supposed to take an oath of poverty. And when I learned from the civil rights leaders, and people don't know this, is when Martin Luther King died, for instance, his family couldn't afford his house.
Yeah, no.
Right? And it was Harry Belafonte who had a life insurance policy, who, so his family would have a place to live.
Yeah.
And that is tragic, that someone could commit their life to service and then not be able to have a place to
live. Serving
the people,
and the people don't serve them back.
That's right. That's right. So there certainly are limits around how much people should be profiting off of their work in nonprofits. But to think that you don't deserve to make a living as a professional is just unfair.
We got some?
Yeah. So as the new chairwoman, how do you envision the future of the movement going forward?
Yeah, I love that. I mean, our mission statement is to work inside and out the system, to invest in the future of Black lives, but also to reimagine the future for Black people, right? So a lot of criticism comes to us around the language around defunding police, and we may unpack that a little bit. We believe that if people created these systems that are for the demise of Black people, then we have a responsibility to imagine and create systems that are for us to thrive. And so it's our responsibility to do that in a way that fights systemic racism. Systemic racism is a machine. It is packed into education and healthcare and real estate, right? And so to think that Black Lives Matter should just be a GoFundMe, someone dies, we pour some money in, we help the family, we get the funeral, and then we move on to the next city where someone else has been killed, is necessary, but also unfortunate, because we've got to be systemic and have infrastructure too. So I think that there's a space for us to continue to focus on justice for Black death, but the new Black Lives Matter is about investing in Black life. Mm. And what we have done as an organization is we built out a strategic plan that has six pillars. They are the arts, which people don't realize should be a part of being invested in, right? I say it all the time, people are like, y'all are investing in the arts. I'm like, the arts has always been tied to our liberation.
Yes.
From songs of enslaved people.
That's how we got free.
That's right.
That's how we became powerful.
That's
the arts.
The Harlem Renaissance, right? The civil rights movement. Like, you think about all the songs of freedom.
Yeah.
Like, how do you...
But on another level, that's how they let them in the room. Like,
that's
Sammy
right.
Davis Jr., you come in like, oh, you talented. You
could, that's right.
Well, that boy could sing. He could come in here, but hey, y'all got to stand out there. But letting those people in is what made them say, man, all these people,
it disarms folks, right? Exactly. Right. And so to be able to use art as a tool is so important. I remember after Buffalo, the massacre in Buffalo at the grocery store, I was talking to some of the folks out there, and they said that people kind of swarmed on the town, and they were getting counselors from all over who didn't understand how Black people heal. And they were saying, we cry, we sing, we don't just necessarily sit and talk to you about what we're going through. You know, we integrate arts into our healing, right, and our power. And one of my favorite quotes is that if the lions don't rise up and tell their stories, then the hunters get all the credit. So we have a responsibility, right, to ensure that our stories are written into history. And so we do that through the arts, and we're investing in the arts. So that's the first pillar. Mm-hmm. The second pillar is combined. It's education and research. These are the three that I'm the most passionate about, honestly, my professional history and my personal passion. So for the first time, Black Lives Matter last year partnered with HBCUs. We said, you know what? We're not actually going to give money to the schools. We're going to give money to the students. Wow. And we gave them gift cards so that they could buy food and clothes and get out of their cars because they didn't have a place to live. And we literally had a very short form application and gave them hundreds of dollars to the tune of $500,000 to HBCU students last year. Yeah. We also said student debt is a problem for Black people. And we invested in allowing people to pay off their student loans. We had a sliding scale and paid off Black people's student loans. I mean, this is the stuff that doesn't get in the media, right? So those are the ways that we're investing in education right now and the arts. We also have frontline organizing, because we know protest is fundamental.
Is that the third pillar, frontline organizing?
That's right.
Okay, I'm just making sure I keep up the time. I'm stepping up. Let's
go. I love it.
Okay.
Frontline organizing. So we have a board member on our board who is an organizer. She came up through the ranks of organizing, and she keeps us on top of our organizing game. to make sure that we do provide support for organizers. We've actually granted $35 million out of that $90 million that we received right back to either chapters or frontline organizations or organizers. And then Healing Justice, I mentioned earlier that we brought together about 150 families, impacted families who had been killed by state-sanctioned or police violence to come and heal. And it's so important.
And what does that look like, Healing Justice? What does that look
like? Yeah, I mean, you know, triage, right? So, when you have a crisis and a family member has been killed, you get a lot of attention maybe right away. And some families don't get any.
Yeah.
But people come to your aid to figure out, you know, how to help you, whether it's financial or whether it's political or civic, like a civic suit. But what happens in 2 or 3 years when you're still reeling with, you know, the death of your loved one? What happens when they were the breadwinner?
Yeah.
What happens when they have a baby that somebody has to raise?
Yeah.
Mental health is super important to us. So investing in tools so that we can just literally grieve and try to overcome some of the pain in our communities that exist when they are overregulated by policing, right? So, that's a part of
what we're
investing in Healing Justice.
Okay,
that's
so what's the other two?
Culture is the next one. So that's the fifth one.
Okay.
You know, we recognize that Black culture affects the world, right?
Yeah,
someone said once, you know, they want our rhythm, they don't want our blues. But when it comes down to, you know, how we impact music and arts and movies and commercials, I mean, I listen to commercials now and I'm like, you know, that was a song that we were singing like 15, 20 years ago, and now it's mainstream. We know how we impact the world.
For sure.
So being really intentional about that and shaping culture, thinking about how the story of Black lives is told within movies, the story of our people, and making sure that we own, you know, some of those assets. And then finally is advocacy. You know, it's an election year, and we're a nonpartisan organization. And so we cannot endorse a candidate per se.
Really?
As a 501c3,
you can't.
You cannot endorse a candidate. And a lot of people don't know that.
I didn't know that.
They don't know it. You have to be this is tax code. You have to be a 501c4 or 501c5, like a membership organization or fraternal sorority organization, you can. But as a C3, you can now. You can mess up your whole game in terms of your tax status if you go out and say, I'm for her or against him in a way that endorses them. However, we are very clear about the policies that impact the lives of Black people.
Mm-hmm.
And so the ways that we advocate are through those policies.
Yeah.
And it becomes very clear. I can say without a shadow of a doubt that I believe and the organization recognizes that Donald Trump is a clear and present threat to Black people. We are nonpartisan, though. And when we actually just came under a lot of scrutiny recently when Kamala Harris was appointed her position before a vote. And we said we are nonpartisan, we are pro-democracy. And if it would not have been her and the Democratic Party would have appointed someone, would that have been okay? Let's really think about this structure and the system, and by ensuring that she's the one that the people want, we can assuage any concerns in the future when people try to knock down her credibility. So so these are all like technical ways that we're working behind the scenes to make sure that politicians are doing what they're supposed to be doing. We hold them accountable, but also we advocate, most importantly, not for a person, but for a policy that impacts and elevates Black life.
I love that. So I want to make sure, just for the record, the six pillars are
arts. Yep. Education and research. Together.
I know.
Frontline organizing.
I was going to say organizing, not frontline.
Yep.
Politics.
Advocacy.
Yep. But that's advocating for the politicians.
Yeah. Healing justice.
Healing the families.
That's right.
Five.
And then culture.
Those
are our six. It's just the entirety of Black life, the sanctity of Black life, and how that impacts how we move around the world, how we're seen around the world, how we're viewed around the world, and how oftentimes, you know, our assets and resources are stolen from us.
So I'm gonna challenge you just a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you're ready for it. I did media training, and the one thing she told me, she said, telling people's stories don't matter without an example.
Yeah.
So I want you to run through the six pillars, if you don't mind, and give us examples of work that was done
within those.
I think that'd be good.
I love that for the people because
now it's like pointing out exactly what we did.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So our strategic plan and rebrand is new. We literally just launched our new website about 2 months ago.
For sure.
If you go to blacklivesmatter.com, you will see all the pillars. You'll see them broken down. Some of the work is of the past, and so it didn't flow directly under the pillars. A lot of it is what we plan to do.
Okay.
Right? So under the arts, for instance, we have the Creator's House and we have an artist in residence.
Gotcha.
And so our artist in residence is doing things like ensuring that Black artists are taking, receiving, and monetizing off of their art.
Yes.
Right? And we're finding other artists, in addition to that artist in residence, to elevate through our work. When I talk about educational research, I mention HBCUs. So HBCUs are very close to my heart. I'm an HBCU mama.
Y'all donated $500,000 to the kids. Yeah. Yep. Directly to the kids, not the school, which
is
important.
That's right. So HBCUs and continuing to focus on HBCUs. Not only that, but also Black people, whether they go to a PWI or they go to a technical school, right? Mm-hmm. Or they go to a workforce development program, but making sure that we have a pathway towards an education if that's what we want.
Gotcha.
Advocacy. You know, we've done a lot of work with politicians on the Hill to ensure that they know if their policies are not right for Black people. We hold folks accountable.
Mm-hmm.
The George Floyd Justice and Policing Act is actually one that Kamala Harris introduced years ago. It's about police accountability. We know that we've got police officers that are able to jump from one department to another without even losing a paycheck. Right?
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. so we really want accountability around policing and transparency around what police officers are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Another part of that is qualified immunity.
Mm.
And what that means, it's a law. It basically says if you do something on the job, if we can't prove that you had malicious intent, you get away with it as a police officer. And qualified immunity is very dangerous because it allows those cops who have demonstrated that they're not here to protect and serve, but only to police or over police or harm, allows them to get away with it. So those are the kinds of things that we're talking about in advocacy, raising our voices at every level, through government of doing that.
So my question to you is, you've been there 2 years. When do you guys start? Like, when is this the coming out party now?
We've already started. I mean, you know, a lot of folks don't understand that as a philanthropic organization, as a foundation, we have to have infrastructure, right? So if we have on our webpage right now, if you click grant making, there's a place where you can actually go and tell us about your project.
Mm.
And you can click one of the boxes and let us know, is it an arts project? Is it an advocacy
project?
And you
guys would consider giving them a grant?
We do.
Oh, wow.
Out of that $90 million that was given away over the last few years, we've continued to give away grants to people that we found that have fit within our strategic plan.
And I'm gonna ask you this, just because you know, not about Black Lives Matter, I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Is there an admin fee to control the money?
See, you're getting deep into nonprofit infrastructure.
I started a nonprofit, and me and Teron saw a nonprofit, but we sent $75K, but then they asked us to send 15% on top of that because the administrative fee to handle the money, because you got to.
That's right.
It's not free work.
So we originally started by talking about how nonprofits are a business. They're regulated by the government, right? So as much as we hope that they would be a GoFundMe, even GoFundMe takes an admin fee off the top of donations.
Yes.
Because there's got to be somebody running the website. There's got to be attorneys who are ensuring we're doing things legally.
And these people might not be on the same mission that you're
on.
That's why I'm asking.
There's got to be vetting. There's got to be accountants that we pay, right?
Yeah.
So you're getting very deep kind of into the weeds around how nonprofits are run, but it's a blessing to talk about it because it takes money and time to build out infrastructure. Let's say hypothetically, you come to the website and you fill out the form because you want a grant. Somebody's got to review that grant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Somebody's got to check and see if you're a legitimate organization.
Research and everything.
Right?
Yeah.
I worked for a foundation for 10 years, a large foundation. I was a program officer, and I used to actually go and fly and do site visits to the places before we granted the money. That takes time and resources and energy, right? So there isn't necessarily a flat admin fee that's over the funds, but we do have a budget to run the organization that
and
exists.
And that's not percentage based.
No, it's not percentage based. Now,
so if you have 90 million or 10 million, it's going to be the same amount.
It depends, because sometimes we have to scale up our work based on the amount of money we have, but we haven't set a formal percentage. Now nonprofit standards generally say that there's about 20-30% admin. So there are these organizations that exist. They're called Candid is one of them. You can
that's
go online.
Incredible. 20-30%. Yeah,
GuideStar is another one, right? And they rank nonprofits. You can literally go to GuideStar or Candid and they'll tell you 20-30% goes to their admin, 15% goes to program, 30% goes to staffing. And if you stay under that 20% threshold, you can get an A as a nonprofit under GuideStar or Candid, right? Mm. So the goal from their perspective is to keep your admin generally around 20-30%. But the reality is, a lot of times, the nonprofit is only as good as its people, right? So we've seen people transition in and out of organizations. And so if you're not including payments for your staff, the people who are actually doing the work, mm-hmm. the people who are elevating the brand in that admin fee, then you're doing your organization a disservice, right?
Got
so
you.
So there's gotta be a lot of flexibility. We actually call this the nonprofit industrial complex.
Yeah.
Because if you go back and look at the way that nonprofits started, there many of them were started by folks in the banking industry as a way to not have to pay taxes on the money that they donated. And there were many were run by white organizations, billionaires, and corporations. And then they gave charitable dollars to black people, right? Mm. Black people were not at the table in terms of who was making the decision, whether or not the money was actually legitimately making a difference.
Mm-hmm.
It was only when black people started elevating through the ranks of nonprofit organizations that we could be very honest about restorative justice, about how to make a difference, and frankly, trust black people with their money. Please don't tell me that this is going to be the best service to my community. I mentioned Buffalo, and there were folks that were there, and they came, and I kid you not, one of the leaders there said they're throwing food off of the back of trucks like we're dogs. And, you know, and that was their charitable work, and they raised a lot of money, white folks, frankly, who came in to do that, but they didn't ask them what they needed to heal, right? Mm-hmm. That grocery store in Buffalo was not just a grocery store. It was their watering hole. It was their bank. You know, a lot of black folks don't have banks. That's where they cash their checks,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And so when you come in and you think, oh, y'all just lost your grocery store. No, we lost our place where we were building
community,
right? And it takes the people, I often say, don't build it about us, without us, right? Who are in the community and who are building to be able to tell folks what they really need. And then also, we've started to have a transition of money and power. So philanthropists used to be all white, the Kellogg's, the Rockefellers. Okay, now we got Jay-Z who's giving billions of dollars away, right?
Yeah.
We got black people who have come up through mm-hmm. it, who can literally say they have power to make a difference and provide information on the infrastructure of how mm-hmm. nonprofits are run, and people are actually listening to them.
Mm.
So it's difficult when you put a hard percentage, because you are playing into the standard nonprofit industrial complex. But the reality is, it's still the system we live in.
Yeah.
We're still governed and regulated by those rules. And we're still trying to break out of it by doing good work and telling people the truth about how these organizations should be run.
I'm about to say 20% of 90 million is 18 million. That's
nice.
30% is 27
it
million.
Is. That's it
nice.
Is. And that money, and that money goes to staff,
yeah.
right?
No, I get it. I'm saying, but right? I mean, like you give me a chance, a $20-30 million
yeah.
run a company, we gonna be profitable in no time.
So let me tell you,
y'all have to make profit.
I'm glad you're saying this, because we've been criticized because we have a firm that we hired that got $2 million to shore up and provide infrastructure for the organization, and people have in the news completely said, "Oh, they got $2 million to run BLM." That was staff that was hired under that firm, right? So you got a $90 million, and they were so wise, and that they put almost $30 million of it in an investment account, right? So when you hire people who know what they're doing, they're rarely gonna do it for free, right? But if you understand that a percentage of the overall resources that come into a nonprofit should be appropriately allocated to staffing and administration,
you're
on the right path.
I was gonna say, when you donate money, that is your way of saying, I don't wanna do the work.
Facts.
Here's some money because I don't want to do that
That's
work.
Right.
So someone has to do that work. Is I think people's whole thing is just, what does that someone make?
That's
why
right.
I asked you, is it percentage?
That's right.
Or is it based on, because if it's percentage, that's the only thing that I'm like, that's yep. a little sketchy. Not for you guys, but that's why I asked about everyone.
Yeah.
30% feels excessive to me.
Yeah.
To run a nonprofit.
Yeah.
Because let's say if the business only costs $1 million, even if we got to scale up, we scale to $2 million a year now. That doesn't, but
yeah.
if you scale it percentage wise, it's like, oh, we can actually take $7 million
yeah.
now. So now instead of paying yourself the normal salary, pay yourself seven times the salary.
That's
because,
right. So that's where the IRS comes in,
yes.
right?
Okay.
So the IRS has regulations about excessive pay.
Yeah.
When we did our taxes, remember I mentioned when the new board came in, the three of us, the first thing we did was file our taxes. We were getting all the scrutiny in the press. People wanted to talk to us. We still are getting people who are saying, you're not coming out and telling us what you're doing. That's because we put our heads down and we got legal.
Yeah.
And when we filed our taxes, we realized that only 10% of our overall budget was going to administrative costs at Black Lives Matter. 10% in our first year.
Yeah.
People don't know that. They look at the $2 million that was spent on administration and did blow up the $2 million. but there was a $90 million budget. Mm. Right? And you can't have people, lawyers, accountants, a communications team. Somebody's got to respond to the emails that are coming in. Somebody has to organize on the mm-hmm. ground, whether it's a food drive or a community march. Like, mm-hmm. we got to pay those people. And so we've done a lot of work trying to tell people we are a nonprofit organization, and we have a responsibility to be accountable not only to the people who have donated the money, but also to the government, who mm-hmm. is definitely paying attention. I kid you not, my first year, I had 7 state...
What's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. the Coastal Referee. And I want to ask you, are you ever frustrated with uploading a video to YouTube and you get no views? I know I was when I first started. If you're a music artist and you have your own podcast or your content creator, look no further. WAM Promotions has gotten you covered. They specialize in high-end targeted YouTube campaigns that deliver real views, real subscribers, and most importantly, real growth. So if you're struggling with real organic YouTube growth, I'm here to tell you to go on WAM Promotions and use the promo code GODS and receive 20% when you check out. Tell them Ray sent you, you got 20% off. Let's go, guys. I'm looking to see you guys on the charts. Let's go.
Attorney generals who lodged investigations. I am the board chairwoman. My name was on every single one of those investigations. Mm. And I had to go through with our attorneys and our team and provide them with the proof that the money was going where we said it was going to go. And so we said, you know what? Filing our taxes is not enough. And anybody who runs a legitimate nonprofit, it's called a 990 form. It is public information. If you call up that nonprofit, they have to give you the form, or they have to provide a place on their website where it is available. And so we have what we call a transparency center that we've built out, Black Lives Matter / transparency, where all the money is gone, all the 990s, the tax forms showing you who got paid what, which organizations got grants. People don't know Mike Brown's family. There was just 11 years, believe it or not. Hands up, don't shoot. His family got $1 million from Black Lives Matter in 3 payments, $300,000 when I was on the board. So a little over $300,000 when I joined the board. Trayvon Martin's family got $250,000 from Black Lives Matter. People think, where is the money? Where did it go? Well, we tell you if you just click on the website and look at it. And then we took it a step further. We said, you know what? This is our reporting. These are our books. They might not even be accurate. Why don't we get an external independent audit? And we did.
And that costs.
And it costs, right? And so we had an auditing firm who came in that was completely unaffiliated. We opened up all the books. And for the last 3 years, we have had clean audits for the organization. And those are currently on the website in the Transparency Center. Mm. You know, anytime we post something about Black Lives Matter on our pages, and I want to invite folks, please follow us on BLK Lives Matter on Instagram and X and Facebook, and go to blacklivesmatter.com. But anytime we post something, you know, we got trolls.
Yeah.
We do have people who are giving us a chance as a new board. But oftentimes people are saying, where's the money? Where's the money?
For sure.
And we literally keep telling people that all you have to do is 2 clicks on our website and we'll tell you the answer to that question.
Do you think that is because you guys are a Black organization, or because to me, like I said, when we was off camera, like, I like to discover, like, I don't like to come in, like, I like, we live in a country where they say innocent until proven guilty, but we will cast you as guilty immediately and make you prove your innocence, which is backwards to me, right? Because it's like, in my mind, it's like, I don't have bad intent, so I don't assume other people have bad intent. Yeah. Now, I know there are people out there with bad intent, but I give those people a chance to show their hand. At some point they will, then you can distance yourself, but until then, you don't. But I don't hear people speaking about where's the money from any other organization.
At all. That's what I get to. None.
Come on. So interestingly enough, I kind of told the story of how the organization formed. There's another layer to this. A lot of the time when nonprofits start, they don't have their paperwork together. They don't have staff. So there are a group of organizations that exist and they serve as fiscal agents, right? So they are sometimes large nonprofits. And they say, you know what? You can nest under us. We're going to charge you an admin fee. That's usually just 15% off top. But what we'll do is we'll collect your checks and then we'll give you the money and we'll handle all of the reporting, right? So a lot of times, small nonprofits will come under a fiscal agent and they'll kind of help them get started.
Yeah.
So that's what Black Lives Matter did at the beginning. So from 2013 to 2020, when not a lot of money was coming in, but the movement was growing and building, they were under a fiscal agent. Mm-hmm. When that $90 million came in, the leadership then boldly said, we want to be a nonprofit. What that meant was that they had to disclose how much money they had. Mm-hmm. They took that risk. They're the ones who came out and said, we're going to tell you. They could have stayed right under that cover of a fiscal agent if they wanted to. Mm. We actually have a lawsuit pending right now with the Tides Foundation. So when people Google, everything I'm saying,
you can find online, right?
We have lawyers, right? By the way,
I think that...
It's like cha-ching every time I say something.
But I run a business.
Yes.
So when I know the cost of business. The average person at home, you have to say that.
Yes.
That cost.
Yes, yes.
That cost.
If someone is suing us, that cost.
Now they're seeing
That's right.
where the money is going.
That's right.
That
That's
cost. Right. It's important. I'm just for your, I know you've been on board.
Yeah.
You have to say that all the time.
That's right. That's
because
right.
Because it drills in people's head, that cost. Yeah. That cost. You can add it up at that moment to see where the money went.
Back to your media training. Like I love you and like drilling down on the primary challenges around our messaging, right? Because I mentioned to you, we were started by activists. We didn't have a big PR firm.
They're not business
that
people.
That was telling us how to get our messaging out. They were just doing the work, right?
And nobody, by the way, let's also be clear. No one was, the George Floyd thing also occurred at the same time as the pandemic.
Yes, yes.
It was money flowing, yep. Everybody had money, and I don't think no one was prepared for 90 million
Absolutely
in a
not.
Year when the, how much did you guys make in 2019?
We were under a fiscal agent, so we never reported it, but we never made more than $2 million in 1 year as an organization.
You know what I'm saying? So you basically 45X your money.
Yes. In a matter of 6 months.
And we're punishing you guys because you're not ready.
That's right.
And
that's right.
I just like to say that because, you know, obviously when I was doing this interview, you know, a lot of people like, oh, hold them accountable, which I want to.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you cannot punish people for something that they didn't know.
That's right. And, you know, I usually don't even talk about this, but I'm going to be real honest. There's been a lot of criticism in previous leadership for who they hired and what they paid, right? They're saying, oh, they knew that person or they knew that person. I just want us to imagine, right? You're working from 2013 to 2020 on the ground, building a better life for Black people. You're marching every day. You're getting death threats on your life, which I'm getting now, right? Mm. And you have people who are surrounding you who become your team and they're working with you for free. And then you get $90 million. Who are you going to hire?
Them first.
Them first.
No. Are you going to hire somebody new or the people who've been rocking with you
I'm
for a, 7 years
been
for free?
With me for
right.
Free.
Right. Period. So there's criticism around this feeling of nepotism in the movement, but that's the way business moves. Any white professional business, I mean, we look at the former president of the United States, he's got his whole family in the White House, right?
Yeah.
So the level of scrutiny we receive for hiring people who are legitimately qualified, but an arm's length away for us is unfair. And I do believe that it happens because we're Black.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we as Black people play right into it.
Yeah.
White supremacy don't have to be white people.
I was about to
right?
say, that's why I said, sometimes you can't fight the whole world, but what I can do is educate you every step I get,
that's right.
even if you're irritated by it. Oh yeah, today I had to drive over here. That cost gas money.
Facts.
Or I have to Uber, like every time,
that's
because
right. that's
people
right.
don't, like as a business owner, I know
yes.
how much shit can get out of hand.
Right.
Hungry, food, everything.
Let me tell
Trust
you,
me.
I a week ago, had a group of folks show up at my home. My house got doxxed, okay?
Ooh, what does dox mean?
Dox means somebody put your address on the internet.
Got you.
Right?
Okay.
My home, I have three sons.
Okay.
Okay? And they showed up at my house screaming. One of my sons was home alone. I was not there. Now—
Who is they? Like, can you give—
I'm about to break it down. Right. Now, I've said this before, I was prepared for the white folks. I was prepared for MAGA, you know.
Yeah.
I see their red hats coming. I get it. They whether they don't understand, they're intimidated, they just don't care, they just want to snuff us out, I get it. I wasn't prepared for the Black folks.
Mm.
So what ended up happening when I came on this board was that people who don't understand nonprofits assumed that I came here to take $90 million, which I didn't even have access to. And as a legitimate board, none of us has a blank check. We have regulations, checks and balances, mm-hmm. two signatures on accounts, attorneys and accountants. So it's not as if I could literally join this board, which I did for free because I have my own business,
mm-hmm.
To come as my own personal piggy bank. It just is not true.
Yeah.
But there are a group of grassroots activists who believed, and they started their own rogue group called BLM Grassroots. They started a group and they believed that we do not need to exist in the way we are building as a formal foundation. And I become their public enemy number one.
What do you mean they don't think you guys should exist?
Yes.
What do you mean?
Yeah, they do not believe that as a legitimate 501c3 foundation, right, that is building infrastructure and structure. And I don't want to speak on behalf of people who are not
for
here.
Sure.
But this is what they've told me.
This is your
me.
Interpretation.
Right. This yes. is what they've told me, that we do not deserve to be in positions of leadership and determine where those assets or resources go. Mm-hmm. Right. And they've built this storyline about me that I've come in to get rich. Now, yeah. I want to be very clear. I was chosen and then elected duly as the board chairwoman of this organization because I was successful, not to become successful. Mm. But there are people who have made their living off the backs of BLM. I am not one of them.
Yeah.
I worked for 25 years and pulled me and my children financially up out of the gutter, doing work behind the scenes on behalf of Black people. Right? Mm. So they didn't choose me because I came here looking for a handout. They chose me because I'd been successful doing the work.
For sure.
And in fact, when they came to my house, they put it online and they showed a picture of my house, and it's a beautiful house. They made it seem as if I just bought it. I've been living in that house for 5 years,
yeah.
right? So they don't tell that story, right? And so what my point is that they're playing into the notion of this impropriety or are people being shady or stealing, when the reality is those people aren't even with the organization anymore, right? And so why is it that we aren't given an opportunity as a new board to show and prove that we are invested in Black life? A good example of what we just did, Elaine Brown, who actually just came to my aid when the folks showed up at my house and put out
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Beautiful statement about how legitimate we are as an organization. She was one of the original Black Panthers in Oakland. Mm. She was the first woman who was a chairwoman of the Black Panther Party. She's bad.
Yeah.
And she is starting a housing development at the corner of 7th Avenue, where Huey Newton was actually shot, called the Black Panther. Mm. We invested $1 million into that housing development. It just broke ground last month.
Mm.
People have no idea that those are the kinds of infrastructure decisions that we're making as a board.
Yeah.
And yes, families absolutely need justice. That's why we've got Frontline Organizing and Healing Justice. But to say that that's all we should do, yeah. we should only march, means the people who are killing us are already two steps ahead, because mm-hmm. we're not doing anything to support Black life and Black love.
And I wanted to ask you this, like, what has there been like a change in the approach between Black Lives Matter movement? Because the Sonya Massey thing, it's been kind of quiet. I haven't been hearing the loudness. So I'm like, is that we're not doing that no more? Or is that like, we're not going out there because we don't want to distract it and become the distraction because we're the biggest organization?
Yeah, the grassroots activists who exist and who have built chapters, like I mentioned, anyone could have started a Black Lives Matter chapter. We honor them and honor their work. And so in Atlanta, they had protest. I mean, on the 28th of last month, they actually did a day to honor Sonya Massey. Mm. I didn't go to the protest, I donated. Though, yeah. right? And I often say to folks, like, not all walls can be built or broken down with fists, yeah. right? You need people who can donate. You need people who can march. Mm-hmm. You need people who can go meet with legislators. I'm gonna be honest, I was just on Martha's Vineyard, mm-hmm. where I've been for years and years and years and years. That's where money moves during the summer for mm-hmm. Black people.
Martha's
so, oh my God.
Really?
Yes, there are politicians and advocates and leaders, and it is the Black month on the Vineyard. I'm letting the readers in on the secret if they don't know.
July or June?
It is August. August is Black month. They have HBCU week. They have political week.
Oh, wow, that's fire.
The people who move this country are on Martha's Vineyard in August. And so people have an idea that it's just this hoity-toity, oh, she goes to the Vineyard. The reality is I was working and making moves and ensuring that we have resources to continue to build this organization.
Yes.
So to answer your original question, there's a place for everybody, right? Yeah. And unfortunately, the people who are marching and protesting and shouting, they oftentimes don't get because they may not be investing in a large PR firm, because they may not have a communications team.
Yeah.
They're not getting the attention, you know, that they likely should. But we are absolutely here to help power their movements in all the ways that we can. I mean, Black Lives Matter on Instagram still has almost 4 million followers.
Wow.
So there are people who are waiting for a call to action from us. Mm. And we leverage that platform to elevate these issues whenever we can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's, I mean, It's deep because I understand the people who are angry.
Yeah.
The anger is more about it not being them.
Yep.
And finding something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what the anger.
You just encapsulated.
Well, because we're like what I want people to understand about Black people and is that we don't have the pillars that hold us down that other communities might have. Yep. Like, mm-hmm. if we need to get money, we usually have to go to someone or an organization that is ran by people who don't look like
That's
us,
right?
So we gotta already prove that we're not like them.
That's right.
Before coming in the room, right?
That's right.
So there are a lot of things you gotta do. And then once you finally get there, it's kind of like, well, we're here now. I wanna help you guys. But now you guys are attacking us because the reality is that the thing that y'all did the best that we're not acknowledging is that you guys came up with the best slogan.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you can have this activist, that activist, that activist. You know, even the NAACP, like, does anybody really know? If I gave you money and said, what does it stand for? Like, would you be able to get it?
Yeah, but the NCAA, average person, no.
The average person, no.
They call
it the NCAA.
NAACP.
Yeah.
But my thing is that within those, we understand. So when they said Jesse Jackson worked for the FBI and Al Sharpton, they had no choice.
Right.
That was the only place they can get the money to fund what they was doing. By the way, gangsters have done the same thing.
Yes.
Mm. Gangsters have been in the line with it. So it's not like it's different. It's just they have higher expectations of you. And now people that do what you do are the ones attacking.
Yeah, the infighting.
Leading the attack.
I'm telling you, I wasn't ready for the infighting. I mean, like when I came on board, the first call I got was from an activist who actually was one of the ones who showed up at my house a couple of days ago, flew from LA to come to Atlanta to show up and yell at my son who was inside fearing for his life.
Fuck somebody.
Listen.
Shoot him.
Listen.
I was just shot because it's legal. It's legal. It's in my property. Yeah, I feel dangerous. I'm gonna shoot the air first.
If the $90 million never became public, none of this happens.
Right. Let me tell you. Speaking of the NAACP, NAACP Legal Defense Fund. They actually used to be one of my clients. I love them and love their leadership. I looked at their 990s. They made between $90 and $120 million of donations.
Who does that?
Same year. NAACP Legal Defense Fund.
That's what I'm saying.
Same year. Nobody's saying they got $90 million.
But here's the thing. They're the establishment.
They are.
Mm-hmm. We okay
are.
With that.
They are.
Even though if you looked into their shit, they were doing things that they probably wouldn't want to talk about today back in those
I'm
days.
Sure. And there was a split between the Legal Defense Fund and the
exactly.
NAACP, right? So, I mean, and unfortunately, like we can take this back as far as you know, activists, you know, back in the day when we talk about the difference between, you know, Booker T. Washington and you know, other leaders who were interested not only in work, but in education, right? Or you could talk about Malcolm and Martin, right? And it's
the
kind of two mind frames, mm-hmm. right? They're always trying to pit us against each other. Like, we can talk about Malcolm X and the Nation of Islam,
but
right?
I don't think it's them that pits us against each other. I think it's us.
Yeah, well, yes.
And the reason why I say I think it's us is because all you have to do, it's like if I pulled up to a neighborhood, the projects right now, and I had a knot of money and I gave it to one little kid and I drove off. I have to be smart enough to know that little kid is either getting his ass whipped.
He's a target.
He's running. They're robbing. You understand what I'm trying
That's
to say?
Right.
So
That's
you got
right.
to be smart enough to understand that when money comes in, you will be attacked by your peers who don't have it.
Yeah. And when I say they, I love Black people, right? And I have studied the history of white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I recognize we didn't just get here, right? There was infrastructure for years that taught us to hate ourselves and to turn against ourselves.
And that's what we're fighting against.
Right? Yes. And then also this kind of this Western notion of, if it's some for her, it means it's not enough for me.
And that's why I was trying to go. That's why I was trying to go. We are all in a social experiment.
Yeah.
Every day we are living a social experiment. If I can give, if I don't know a community, I want to help though. If I can give one person in that community, like when Jeff Bezos gave Van Jones $100 million,
he was criticized for that too.
I know, exactly.
For accepting that.
But it's like, what do you want us? It's really just, to me, you know what it is? It's a lot of misguided anger.
Yeah.
And it's hard to deal with. It's unfair to deal with. And it's definitely not fair for you who didn't start BLM,
right.
Came in 2 years later and cleaning it up and obviously taking ownership but saying, here's what we're gonna do.
Right.
But the reality is that you damn near gotta be perfect.
Yeah, it's true.
And that's the frustrating part, is that it's like, even if they speak about politics, when they say, you know, Trump is married 3 times, divorced 3 times,
five
or
the
baby
kids,
mamas, no
yeah.
black man could have done that. We know that. But I think it's just important to acknowledge it, because yeah. at some point in time, the people are going to have to make a decision and say, are we going to keep allowing that to ride
yeah.
or are we going to change? Because change comes eventually.
That's
so
right.
I don't want to say I feel bad, because you guys have a lot of money in the bank. And that, I mean, you know, like,
we have a lot of opportunity.
I'd rather have $90 million in the bank and people feeling bad for me.
Right.
Than have
say
nothing
whatever
and
you
people
want.
Love me. I'd rather have mm-hmm. that. So that's the first thing I'll say. But, you know, I think that we got to take it easy on each other
yeah.
and give grace of mistakes, because just because it's not your time doesn't mean, just because it's not your time today doesn't mean it won't be your time tomorrow.
Yeah.
But the only way it becomes your time tomorrow is based on what you did today.
That's right.
So we're not getting to our tomorrows as a community because we're so busy fighting about today.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, like, I don't live in the gutter, right?
Yeah.
Like the level of like vitriol and hate and anger and the stuff people say about me online, I don't live there.
Yeah.
And I can't allow people to bring me down there, because I'm not qualified to compete. That's
exactly.
not my language.
For sure.
That's not how I move. I love Black people, and I believe in the hope and the future and the promise of us. I've committed my life to nonprofits. I have to have hope and faith to be able mm-hmm. to do that. At the same time, I make no apology for the anointing that I believe is over my life.
Mm.
I didn't posture to get here.
Yeah.
I put my head down and I worked, and people behind the scenes saw that work
you
and
trusted
saw that
the
passion.
Process.
Right. And I had no idea, if somebody would have told me 5 years ago that I would be in this role. But when they started vetting people, it was, oh, well, we know her.
Yeah.
Or she did that, or she built that. And I was doing it because it was the right thing to do. And it was what I was passionate about at the moment. You know, back to tearing folks down, I'm gonna be very candid with you. When I came on board, the first articles were great because we still had $42 million in the bank. And
yep.
it was like, oh, my God. They didn't spend all the money. And I remember taking my son to school. He's a football player in college. I remember dropping him off, and they had these Google alerts. And I have my name in the Google alert, and my phone just started blowing up. So for 2 weeks, it was like, oh, here we go. It's going to be great. I filed bankruptcy ten years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And a right-wing newspaper decided to make an article about the fact that I had filed bankruptcy 10
yeah.
years ago. Now, everybody in Black Lives Matter knew that, because I went through an extensive
sure.
vetting process. And in fact, they said, we know it. And not only do we know it, we know that you have gone through what Black people have gone through. And we believe you can be a benefit to ensure that other people don't have to go through what you went through. It's an asset.
Sure.
It's real. It's an asset. But people held on to that, and it went viral, that the new BLM head had filed bankruptcy. Now, we know other people in business, other people in politics.
Mm-hmm.
It is a tool, right? And it was so hard for me, because I thought it was a lesson. It was something I went through as a single mother raising 3 children. It was something that I got out of. I started my own business, and I built my life up financially. And y'all are still trying to take me back here to discredit even the new leadership of the organization, right?
Mm.
And people fed into that. And
yeah.
and I'm like, I'm not going to be pushed into a corner of shame for my story.
Yeah.
Give me an opportunity to sit on the couch and tell you that's my testimony.
Yeah,
you know?
Mean, but it's like credit. Like, just because my credit is a 500 today don't mean that I can't do the right things a year from
you
now.
You know
and
what?
Get an 800.
And the thing is, it's like, why aren't we given a chance to tell the truth about our stories and allow the truth of who we are to impact in a positive way who we are, what we do, and other people in the future?
I think it's because we don't walk in it.
Yeah.
I believe it's like, I believe that we have to talk more.
Yeah.
We don't walk in it. I'm not going to act like I'm a Trump hater, because I'm not.
Yeah.
Like, I'm being honest. I'm not a Trump hater. The reason why I'm not a Trump hater is because he does exactly what Jay-Z would do. Like, yeah, I sold crack. I told you don't sell crack, though. Hove did that. So it's like he comes off like, yeah, I filed for bankruptcy, but that was a tool that I used. But let me show you how they got me there, right? So it's like
right.
he kind of is, in a lot of ways, showing the audience that he's here to drain a swamp, which is what you really want from politicians. Sure. It's like drain the swamp.
It resonates.
So when they said to him, when he said, and I'm not gonna lie, when he said grab him by the pussy, mm-hmm. I remember sitting there being like, oh, he done. But most of the time I knew he could come back because there was an other side. Yeah. It was like when he said the thing, I hate when I do this because it feels like I'm defending him and I'm not. But when he said the thing about, remember when they was putting the kids in cages and he was like, and they was like, they putting the immigrant kids in cages.
Yes.
And he was like, and by the way, he wasn't wrong, but he said, we had to do as a country a lot of ugly things to get to the other side. Mm. And this is one of them, but they can't stomach it. I get it. So let it go. But we had to do that. Or when they said grab by the pussy, he could have, everybody deserted him. But what made me like him was he said, that's how men talk when women ain't around. And at that moment, I'm like, well, that is how we talk. Yeah. And I think women at that moment realized, like, he kind of found his way of erasing it from the record. Like,
yeah, by owning it.
Like, I said that, but that's how we talk when women ain't around. Like, I'm not going to do that shit. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a level of privilege with white folks in general.
But let me get there. I want to get there. That's what I'm trying to get you to see.
Yeah.
I believe that we, if proper move properly, can express that same privilege. That is why I compare Trump to Hove. Because Hove is very privileged now.
Right.
But he moved like he was a privileged person from the jump.
From the beginning.
Like, he came in the game like, yeah, you made it a hot line. I made it a hot song. Like, he didn't care. Anytime I'm not a biter, I'm a writer for myself and others. Yeah. Like, when they was like pressuring him up for Biggie, every time they backed him in the corner, he found a way out. By just being authentic. So what I'm saying to you is, in this case, well, everybody's going crazy saying, you did that. Yes, I did it. And guess what? If I had to do it again, I will. Because it protected me and my family. And you should probably educate yourself on what it is before you judge. Now, at that moment, you stood in it and I made you go look. But if you still want to stand in ignorance, I can walk away now.
Right.
Because I just told you what it is and you still are acting like. So now you can kind of see you against me. And to me, I feel like that's what you guys have to do.
Yeah.
I feel like shit like this, talking to people like, look at our books, go to our website, look it up. It's all right there for y'all to see.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the one thing, only advice I would give, not that you need it, is every time I do something, I'm gonna say it cost.
Right.
Every time.
I love that you've unpacked that, you know, because nonprofit folks don't admit it.
Yeah.
People don't understand it. But it's the truth.
Yeah.
It's the truth. And I appreciate you also elevating that there is a level of privilege in owning your authentic self and your authentic story.
We all have privilege.
But I gotta tell you, it took me a long time as a Black woman who basically worked for white foundations to be able to have the power to tell my story, because if I did, I might not be able to feed my kids if somebody made a decision about my livelihood.
And that's the scary part.
That's right. And there are so many other Black people that are in that position. I mean, in the country, right? We're not fully running the country. So the way we move is constantly to protect ourselves, because we don't want to be in a position to lose whatever seat at the table we might have, whatever resources we might have, whatever access to power we might have.
Yeah.
I became an entrepreneur in 2016. Yeah. I was working for nonprofits for a long time. I filed bankruptcy. And I said, you know, I'm gonna bet on myself, right? So a few years later, started my business and said, I've been working for nonprofits and they need a lot of help. They don't understand all of these things I'm telling you right now. And so I remember I was working for, I got a shout out, my mentor, Susan L. Taylor, who was the editor-in-chief of Essence Magazine for 30 years. She is a race woman.
Mm.
And she hired me to help build her nonprofit. And I remember saying to her, I'm going to do this on my own so that I can, you know, have some flexibility and leverage and make a living out of this. And she said, I want to be your first client. And she did. And she recommended me based on my work to lots of other folks in the industry who were trying to build their own foundations. But it wasn't until I was an entrepreneur that I could say, oh yeah, that's what I did. You know, that's who I am.
By the way, just because you said that, I want to back you up a little bit more. You don't see people that work 9 to 5s file for bankruptcy that often.
No.
It is, and if you are, you just irresponsibility.
Risks. It's people who it's take who risks. People,
it's entrepreneurs.
Yes.
People who have to gamble, and sometimes you gamble so much that you like, hold up, can I at least get right money to go home? Because I don't, and they're like, okay, give them that. And to me, that's all it is. It's just, it's a tool for entrepreneurs. And my thing is, I wish that we saw more of that in ourselves and each other. Because as a man who is trying, you'll never see me making fun of someone trying and someone failing.
That's right.
Because I'm trying.
That's
and
right.
And I don't want nobody to make fun of me because I don't, like yesterday, I wanted to quit. Like yesterday, I just was like, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I swear to God, I wrote a tweet. No, I was about to write a tweet that I'm done. I'm going to just stop doing it all. And but then I had to, all right, Ray, go home, see your family, see what it's all about. Then I come back today and I'm like, and then I get on the phone with somebody and something happens today that was great. Right. But I still had to go through yesterday. I didn't enjoy it. I had to go through it. Right.
That's right.
We just got to, to me, I feel like we have to give more effort to the world so we can give more grace to each other.
Oh, yeah. I love that. I was on an interview recently and, you know, I've got people in my corner that are supporting me, that know my story, that have worked with me for a long time. And the reporter was just, you know, coming down. He's like, you've been here for 2 years and you haven't been on my show. And, you know, I said, we've been doing the work behind the scenes. I said, can you give us some grace?
Yeah.
You know, we came into an organization that had no infrastructure at all. Meanwhile, we're getting death threats. Meanwhile, I'm getting attorney generals down my back. Meanwhile, we got to file taxes. Meanwhile, I got people protesting at my house.
Meanwhile, I have 3 kids that I'm raising that as my main responsibility.
As my primary responsibility, right? And again, I'm not in this position asking for...
What's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and I'm here to talk to you about YKTV Magazine, which is the number one magazine for prison entertainment. These prisoners are sitting in jail. They have nothing to do but read these magazines and read your ads, buy your music, support your business, anything that you can do that's online commerce. They already have published over 140 magazines with 36 major artists that have covered it, and I'm giving you an opportunity to advertise this magazine and get directly to an audience that you know has the time and the money to spend. Info at the bottom, info at the God Show. Holla at us, whether you're an artist, producer, whoever you are. We can help you with your business. Holla at us to get to YKTV.
For sympathy, I knew for to sure. an extent what I was signing up for. I'm a black mama who raised 3 black sons in these United States of America. I am no punk. I am not weak. Yeah. I can handle it. Mm-hmm. But it is sad when you're doing this for the benefit of your people, and they're the ones who don't give you the opportunity to not even try. And so that's why moments like this are so important to me, because I'm able to just speak out and tell the truth,
yeah.
right? And if people don't want to listen, right? If the interview is too long, that's on them, but it's out there.
Yeah.
And I'm not hiding behind the shadows.
Yeah.
I'm not hiding behind my past. I'm telling the truth, but it's going to take people inviting me in and not necessarily placing prejudgment.
Yeah.
But giving us the opportunity to tell the truth.
But not only that, you know, I built something. I think, like, I don't even consider myself a journalist. I tell everybody I'm not a journalist. I call myself the culture referee. I built something. I know how hard that is. I know how hard it is to stay in something that's hard.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, imagine how hard it is to watch a movie that you know is terrible 20 minutes in, knowing you could change the channel.
Yes.
But it's saying, I'm gonna stick with this.
Yes.
I think
yes.
that is the hardest thing that we all do,
especially
as humans.
Especially when your son is calling you because people are outside of your house and they're
exactly.
like, Mama, how did we get here?
Exactly.
You know what
it's
I mean?
Like, and it's like now you start asking yourself, is it even worth
is it?
Yeah.
Worth it?
Like
Facts.
For my kids. So it's like, but they don't understand, if you guys leave, who's gonna do it?
Yeah.
That's why I said, that's why I got, bruh, I wake up every day and I'm like, I did wake up every day and I was like, this before I started this show, and I was like, man, Ray, you're really smart. You really know how to do things. Are you going to just change you and your family life, or are you going to help the world?
Mm.
And then it's like, man, if I help the world, I'm gonna make myself the enemy to some people. Do I want to be? So all these things you go through, but then it's like, you know what? Put a camera on me. I'm going to talk
Let's
anyway.
Do
and
it.
I don't care, because the work has to be done.
That's right.
But I will tell you this. I'm not going out my way trying to make other people comfortable or happy with what's going on.
That's
because.
Right.
Happiness is an inside job that I have no control over.
And it's a distraction, right?
Yeah.
So if I'm constantly focused on the people who are attacking me, think about the mental state I have to be in to do this work.
Every
right?
day.
Every single day. If
and
I'm constantly,
smile.
Right?
Yep.
If I'm constantly looking over my shoulder or worried about what they're going to say, about how they're going to pick apart something, about how the storyline is going to play, about the lie they're going to tell, those are the distractions that are going to keep me from doing the work.
I have
the same way I got here, I got to put one foot in front of the other and keep going.
I have an idea, if you guys are interested.
Come on.
What I would do if I was Black Lives Matter is, and I know the perfect person. See, the problem that we are having right now is education, and we're not diving deep enough into education. So all the answers to all the laws are in the libraries, but it's like, nigga, I ain't got time to go in the library. So what I would do if I was you guys is, I have a friend, his name is Christian Wise. He is an ex assistant attorney general. And I told him, as a room full of black people, like, if you're pulled over by the police, do anybody here really know what our rights are? We don't. So I would take a lawyer like Chris, and I can connect you with him, because this is something that he would do.
Yeah, and connect this would fall under our education pillar.
That's what I'm saying. But to me, that should be what your social media looks like. See,
the giving people tools, tangible tools that they can use every day.
The problem is, I figured it out. Mm-hmm. The problem is that when people see you guys got 90 million, they're like, well, what about us?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what you have to do is you have to add value.
Yep.
So take a person like Christian Wise, who's an ex-attorney general, and say, hey, if I'm in New York and I get pulled over by the police or they tell me this, what can I say? Mm-hmm. Now I'll follow the Black Lives Matter page, mm-hmm. not because I care about Black Lives Mattering, but because mm-hmm. I care about how to interact with the police.
How does this impact my day-to-day life?
How does it impact my regular life? So taking someone like him, put him on your platform, and just 60-second blurbs, 90-second blurbs that go on Black Lives Matter YouTube channel, all y'all socials. But now what happens is now you wouldn't believe how many people will change their stance on you guys for that.
Because you're giving them something that,
and by the way, it costs no money.
Yeah.
You know, unless you guys, I don't know how it works. I don't know if it costs money. I don't know if Christian gets paid. I don't know how that works.
Sure.
But my thing is it's minimal.
Yeah.
But I do know this. It's like, look what happened with Sonya Massey, right?
Right.
So police come in the house. Now, who did she call? What made everything go crazy? She called the one person that black people call on to save them every time.
God.
Jesus.
Yes. I rebuke you.
I rebuke you in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Which probably threw him off, but imagine if she knew from your guys' page, listen guys, this is my house, you don't have a right to put that gun up, my hands are in the air, now you're educating people, and now all of a sudden, you got people sharing Black Lives Matter information.
Yeah.
That is the face forward for the low vibrational people and for the people who might not know better, but that's a face forward strategy that I will follow.
And it would answer the question about what are they doing for us?
Exactly.
Because the long term, right, systemic, like building out infrastructure, and it's so nebulous, right? I get it. There's a long term play here, but it's so wise to figure out what that like short term impact could be that's going right to the people.
Exactly. That's what I mean. And like, I told this to Christian 2 years ago because he was running for attorney general against Fani. And I was like, you need more cachet. Yeah. And I'm like, I know you think you need money. By the way, every politician needs money, but what you really need is to get your message out there in the free form first to even see if they want it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm like, for example, I don't know the difference between marijuana. I just started smoking weed. I don't know if I get pulled over with
how much. Yeah.
If I got 3 ounces, am I in trouble? Like, I don't know. Like, but if Black Matters page was saying, hey, listen, if you live in a state that this, now, by the way, it's just giving away free legal advice on how we interact with outside people.
Yeah, well, I mean, what I love about this concept, there are a couple of things. What I love about the concept is that, first of all, as a new board and a new foundation, what we're saying is we want to build this board by the people, for the people, right? So it's important to us that we get feedback from folks about what you need, right?
Yes.
So I'm not sitting in some ivory tower telling people what black people need. I know what my family needs.
Yeah.
But I'm learning every single day what people need. And I think that's a really important distinction between the movement in the past and where we are now.
And I also think that it will help you guys with the Blue Lives Matter
the counter,
because it's like, you guys are against the police. Actually, we're not. Matter of fact, what I would even do is I would get a black police officer to say, hey, if somebody, that's all I would do. All you guys need is forward-facing opportunities to say, this is who we are.
And to provide some clear benefit to people at every level.
Because if you're quiet, they can pick on you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, when I left my last situation, I can't lie, I felt blackballed. I was like, damn, I think they blackballing me the way they did it. And I remember thinking, like, they can't blackball you if you have the internet.
Mm.
So I knew that they was gonna put bad messages about me. So I started putting my own shit out there. Now here's the crazy part. 2 years later, nothing negative has come out about me.
Mm, you control the narrative,
But not only that, I'm also speaking from a very like powerful position where all one person can say is, that nigga's a liar, he did this to me, no one has done that. Mm. You know why? Because I hold myself accountable and I understand, but I'm adding value.
Right.
Black Lives Matter should not be just associated with when black people get killed by the police.
Facts.
It That's should be right. associated
That's
with
right.
black people right. mattering and educating us and teaching us
yes.
and showing us. And the way to yes. do that is like the way to do that is to, it's three pillars that if you protect us with, that if y'all did, I gave y'all one, the lawyer telling you legal advice, let's get a black person, finance person, Ashley Fox, somebody who does that, mm. to come on in and talk to you about financing. And then let's also get someone to talk about health.
Yeah.
So now the three pillars that matter the most, health,
yeah.
the legalities of the country and money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So now yeah. you got these three people saying, hey, black people, we shouldn't eat this kind of food because of this.
Yeah.
And now it's like, damn, now it's all coming from you guys. That just killed every bad messenger right
yeah.
there.
Yeah, so the thing, what I love about this, I mean, I my brain thinks in things like strategic plans and you know, kind of timelines and you yeah. know, kind of the whole nonprofit behind the scenes infrastructure. We have a strong enough foundation as an organization and pillars under which each of these initiatives could rest,
yes.
right? So let's say you would have come to us 2 years ago, we would have been like, okay, and we yeah. would have tried to figure out, okay, how do we fund it? And we would have been trying to figure out what people, I mean, we would have looked a mess.
Yeah.
Because although they're good ideas, we absolutely have to be accountable and ensure that we're demonstrating impact, right? So there have to be what they call KPIs, key performance indicators.
Yep.
So when we bring somebody in and they educate a certain number of people, there's a certain dollar amount assigned with that.
Yep.
There's certain outcomes assigned with that. I mean, this is the business of nonprofits,
for
right?
Sure.
Because people are checking, they're looking in our books and they're yep. making sure that we're doing what we say we're going to do. Now we have the infrastructure to do this,
yeah.
right? And it's not pretty, the work that we've been doing the last 2 years, it's not pretty,
yeah.
but we've been doing it. Now we're ready
yeah.
for these kinds of tactical programs and tools that actually touch the lives of black people every yeah. day.
And I'm about brand.
Yeah.
I'm about brand building and messaging,
yeah.
right? I tell every artist, you know, every manager, everybody in the world, you are no different than a politician.
Yeah, yeah.
You better get your message out there.
That's right.
Your why, what matters, what you care about, because that's the only way you can have a community of people who follow you for whatever reason.
That's right.
Right? Black Lives Matter became the face of black people's unfortunes in this country. You guys should give other value to black people that have nothing to do with nothing. I promise you, 12 months from now, no one will be saying anything negative if you do
that. If they
that.
See it. If they see
it's
it.
Not, it's not, it's, and by the way, I would have told those people that said, how can we do that? How do we even know about Black Lives Matter?
Yeah.
They never
true.
Knocked on our door.
It's true.
They never, we see them on social fucking media.
Yeah.
Utilize the same yeah. tool that blew you guys up.
Yep.
Now make it matter.
Yeah.
Now you
That's
become
beautiful.
So valuable that now it's like, I don't even know what Black Lives Matter is about. I just follow them because they give me information,
yeah.
intel on how to better my life. Because
yeah.
that's what we really care about. How yeah. does it affect us?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And so to your point, I mean, I love what you were saying about expanding the notion of what black life and black people need,
yeah.
right? And that's the rub, actually, that we're getting with the people who consider themselves the grassroots folks.
Yes.
Because we're thinking more broadly about yeah. ways to invest in black people's
nah.
lives. And there's a lot of air. You're talking about entrepreneurship. You're talking about money. You're talking about health. That's not marching in front of the courthouse. It is that, yes.
Chess, yeah.
But it's so much more than that.
I was going to say, they might need to hire, they might need a creative agency, because the shit that yeah. y'all, like, is this yeah. is, it's easy. It's just,
yeah.
it's just messaging. It's
yeah.
messaging, it's planning. Yeah. And to be honest with you guys are a huge brand right now, and you have a huge opportunity. You have money in the bank to change the entire narrative.
We do.
And I would use nothing but social media, free information, giving it away,
yeah.
and add that value to the page.
I love that.
And
I
change
love that.
The messages. So I'm saying, Chad, they should definitely talk
yeah.
to us.
We're available all week.
We're available all week. I can show you how to turn that shit around right now.
We literally, I mean, the reason I'm here is that we're in the middle of a rebrand.
Yeah.
We just got a brand new website. We just, you know, so as a new board, so we're very much in the midst of turning this corner around messaging.
Yeah, you should.
And
yeah.
these conversations, I mean, you're here to talk to me, but I'm learning from you
yeah,
too,
cause,
right?
Yeah, because I mean, we hip hop, you know, I
yeah.
come from the hip hop world. In our world, you know, you gotta find a way to make your shit cool because you don't have access to shit. So
yeah.
what's the coolest shit you could do? And all
yeah.
I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, when you said 4 million followers, I'm like, 4 million followers?
Yeah.
And you mean to tell me y'all are only talk, what?
Yeah.
That
yeah.
that can be the center place for black information
yeah.
yes.
for black
that is actually
prosperity.
One of our goals. It's one of our goals
I'm
in our
saying,
strategic
I'm
plan.
Saying, we got an agency.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, we could, you
We're
know,
there.
We'll talk.
All
we
right.
can help. I can
yeah.
do that for sure.
Yeah.
So I just want to ask you, and Rick, unless you have something, I want to get to the last question. I can't believe
this is the last question.
I know, it's so fun, right?
I know, it's so fun. Good.
I want to ask you. So we have this segment. It's the last couple of questions. We have this segment we do called Credit Check. We hate on the God Show. We hate when people give flowers. Mm. Give them their flowers. That comes from the statement. That comes from when someone dies. Mm-hmm. We send flowers.
Right.
Don't give me no flowers. Give me my fucking credit. Because I could leverage that. I can't leverage flowers. Right. So what we like to do is give people like yourself a chance to shout out 2 to 3 unsung heroes.
Oh, wow.
And your mission and your life that you just want to give some credit to.
Wow, that's deep. I would be remiss if I didn't name my two board members because they're in this with me. Mm. Dejanae Parker and Shalomia Bowers.
Okay.
We have become like family. Mm-hmm. And everything that I'm going through, in many ways they're going through it too. And mm-hmm. and so I want to make sure to we've got to shore each other up and keep leaning on each other. Mm-hmm. I also have to say my three sons. Right. I mean, I mentioned that I was a single mom, and I rarely say I'm a single mom because there was nothing singular about the community that has supported my three sons and I.
Message.
And you know, and I worked for a really long time to prepare them for the world, and now I'm preparing the world for them. But they are in many ways my mirror and my compass, right? And that they hold me accountable. They tell me the truth. They make fun of me. They just did a TikTok challenge with me the other day.
Show me the money.
Show me the money.
Yes.
Give me my money.
Oh my God. And they got me. But they love me. They love me and they know who I am in those days where people were telling me that I'm something different. And so Markel, Malik, and Micah, I love them. And I'm so grateful that I have been the vessel to pour into their lives. They're all very successful young men.
I love that.
I'm proud of them.
How did they have your mommy?
My oldest is 29. My middle is 24. And my youngest, my football player, is 21.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
And all three of them have gotten either in or through college because of a gift that they have received, whether it's lacrosse or football or acting.
Oh wow. So
I've been mama.
That's
for
another
a while.
Thing. Let's get it for the mama stuff, guys. I want to clap for the mama stuff.
Thank you. So my board members, my boys. I know you said only two to three. I mentioned her before. I'm going to say Susan Taylor. If you don't know her, she was the editor in chief of Essence magazine for 37 years. Mm. She is a race woman and has devoted her life, towards demonstrating how Black people, are the strongest. We are the descendants of the strongest and we have so much, hope and potential and future. And she's also taught me that all of that should be guided and undergirded by love. And she's loved me and connected me and invested in me and held me accountable in so many ways. So it's Mama Susan. She'd be nice. The other one.
I love that. This is the God Show where that's an acronym for GOATs and underdogs. Hmm. I'm speaking specifically about you right now, Cicely, not BLM, you and your journey. Do you consider yourself a GOAT or do you consider yourself an underdog? And if you do consider yourself an underdog, what do you personally feel like you have to accomplish for you to say, I'm a GOAT?
This is deep. Okay, so I make no apology for the fact that I have a therapist. She's a very good therapist. I talk to her often. And in therapy last week, she gave me an assignment and she said, your assignment every day for the next week is to get up in the morning and say, I am Cicely Gay, right? Because in an effort to be humble and to serve, I have been taught that I'm not supposed to walk through life carrying a big stick, right? Yeah. I'm supposed to put my head down and serve and do the work, right? Yeah. And so while I certainly believe and have throughout my life been counted out a lot. Think about I had my first son when I was in high school, right?
Yeah.
So I got a story. I think I've lived my life as an underdog, but I'm at the point right now that not the greatest of all time.
Oh yeah,
right?
Just say
but there are GOAT moves that are all around me for sure, and I'm reminded of that when I see how many people are trying to silence my voice. Mm-hmm. Because if I didn't have one, if I didn't have this level of power, if I didn't have this level of potential, right, they wouldn't be paying me any attention, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm learning very 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 quickly how much power I do have, and I'm so grateful for the anointing that's been placed over my life, the people who come into my life, and the future and promise of what I'm about to do in this GOAT era.
So the answer is?
Yeah, it's gotta be a goat.
Yes.
Let's go. I was gonna tell you, I guarantee if your three boys were sitting right there and I asked them, they would say, my mom's the goat.
Yes.
And to me, the only thing that matters to me is how your family feels about you, because that's who you really are.
Yep.
They know when you're fake, they know everything. And I guarantee your kids are there, they'd be like, my mama the goat. Because having a kid in high school, still being successful, going through bankruptcy, running what did you say? The Black Lives Matter?
The largest philanthropic abolitionist organization to ever exist.
You can say that.
By
you
and that. For Black like, people,
like,
yeah.
Like, and I try to tell my, and I try to tell my, my white friends, my counterparts, who we all brothers, I just like them to understand what we deal with. Because a lot of the times, we're just bringing what we deal with to the table, not knowing that it was something that we dealt with because everybody around us dealt with it.
That's right.
It was normal.
That's right.
It was normal. So
we normalize struggle because we're always in it.
Yes. So so to me, we have to create the new normal, which is sharing information, which is helping each other, and which is giving, like, really being humble in our walks, but confident in where we're going.
Yeah.
Because you gotta believe in yourself and what you're doing. So I just want to tell you, thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
I hope you enjoyed this.
Thank you for holding me accountable.
Hope it wasn't painful.
No, I love the questions because and the advice.
Yeah,
it's been a beautiful time. I got a lot of work to do.
I didn't build all of this for my podcast. I built all this because this is what I do for a living. Yeah. I help people become super versions of themselves. That's what I do.
I feel it, and I'm grateful.
I appreciate
for being a part
of it. But thanks for coming. Shout out to Cicely Gay. Let's clap for Cicely Gay one more time.
Thanks for having me.
Shout out to our sponsors. Shout out to Tote and Carry. Shout out to Two Laws Distribution. Shout out to Yoko Vodka. Shout out to Loreco. And shout out to YKTV. And shout out to you guys for sitting through watching this. And hopefully we're going to see some amazing things coming from BLM in the near future, especially if they mess with us. We'll turn them the fuck around in like 6 weeks. But if not, we still praying because you guys are us.
Yeah.
And if since you're us, I don't believe in criticizing, judging. I always wanted this to be the safest space.
Yeah.
In the same way I sat and spoke to you, I could sit here on God, everybody here know me, and talk to a KKK the same way.
Yeah.
Like, what don't you like about black? I know you're misguided. I just know that the person listening doesn't understand yet, so help me understand. Maybe we might agree to disagree, but at least we can have respect each other rather than just feeling like you're my enemy, I hate you. You like Ali said, I'm not killing nobody in Vietnam. Did nothing to me. I'm not killing nobody over there.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So we just got to sometimes inform people. But thank you for coming. This the God Show. We are out.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.